radiant saints. And the first text I'd like to read is in Psalms 34:5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The word lightened, as Rotherham renders it, were radiant. That's where I get my subject. They looked unto him and were radiant, and their faces were not abashed. They didn't blush for shame. No reason to blush for shame. There are Christians, and there are Christians. Some are enjoying their salvation, giving forth a glowing testimony in their faith and in their life. Others are serving God if it kills them. And sometimes it looks like it will. They are not really bearing a glowing testimony for Jesus Christ. Rather, they are poor signboards, billboards for salvation. Very often a wife or a husband or some other member of the family or some member of the church will ask somebody to be a Christian and they can't see anything to be saved from or for. Or they see nothing in that life that really radiates Jesus Christ. It is a glowing testimony. They never have a testimony of joy or exuberance or enjoyment of their salvation. They're bearing their salvation, barely. Not enjoying it. There's no lilt, no radiancy, only these awful trials that I have to bear. Sometimes maybe it's a loved one that they think is a special burden or a cross that they've got to bear. Very often it's just the many tribulations. I was just reading the illustration the other night where this dear colored brother, when he said, "Don't let anybody tell you that you're not supposed to worry." He said, "If the Lord gives you tribulation, he expects you to tribulate." Well, he's a little bit wrong about that, but they remind me of the medieval monk in this very solemn cluster. They would meet, and one would meet the other one, and in sepulchric tones would say, "Brother, we must die." The other answered that cheerful note with his cheerful note, "Yes, brother, we must die." That's not what he means by their faces were radiant. Christianity is not just a death to die, it's a life to live. It's like Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." The abundant life is the life that brings the radiancy. Now my New Testament text. Romans 12:11. "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Now that sounds like three unrelated admonitions. They're not. This is a much misinterpreted, misunderstood, misapplied text. I have seen it in places of business where they think, well, this will make people work a little harder. Not slothful in business. But the context demands it's not your business you're not to be slothful in, but God's business. Let me clarify this expression, this first one then, about business. It comes from the old English word busyness. Busyness. Therefore, the diadem renders it in duty, not slothful. Which is a little better. The Revised Version, in diligence, don't be slothful. Martin Luther's even better. In zeal, not lazy. In the Lord's business. But our primary text is fervent in spirit. In trying to find, I knew what the Greek word meant, but in trying to find a better translation for it, I had to go to a modernist. I don't usually use him. And I never use him without checking up to see if he's wrong. But if he doesn't have anything at stake, he's usually pretty good. And I'm talking about James Moffat. He's a rank modernist. You know how I use that word? With the emphasis on rank. But I do like his translation. Never let your zeal flag. That's very good, but the next one's one I want. Maintaining the spiritual glow. You see why I put these two texts together? They looked unto him and were radiant. Maintain the spiritual glow in your Christian experience, in your testimony, in your face, if you please, according to Psalms. Literally, the Greek is keep at the boiling point. And immediately you think of the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 3, where it says, you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. Used to be hot, but cooled off. And then he says to that same church, be zealous, therefore. And that word zealous doesn't quite get it. It's again, come back to a boil. All of us have known Christians, and many of us in our own lives have known times when we lost the glow. Lost the radiance, see, that God wants us to have in our Christian experience. Our service becomes perfunctory. Duty. Our testimony becomes insipid. We become dull, leaden saints. No radiancy. No glow. I love to see a brand new saint right after saved. Especially if their commitment was so wholesale and the repentance was real and their belief was real and the transformation was real until it seemed like they couldn't get enough testimony, they couldn't get enough service, the church doors didn't open enough for them to get in until they just were so hungry and so bubbling over. That's what we mean by this maintaining the fervency and the glow and the radiancy. But then, as like the church at Ephesus, when it says they relax their first love, all of a sudden they begin to miss a few services. Begin to not testify. Begin to be perfunctory. Just a duty in their service. What's the matter? They relaxed their first love. They lost the glow, radiancy. It's like love in marriage, as we've illustrated so often. I know I shouldn't do this at Trinity. You don't need any encouragement. But in the first love in marriage, there is a glow, there's a fervency, and then only later is that glow lost. Now, how important to maintain the spiritual glow? I ask, how do you keep it? How do you stay at the boiling point, on fire, radiant? Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that I can't give you any brand new surefire 20th century dynamic fuse to set the glow off. Now, a lot of people think that marriage is like this, and the love in marriage, that maybe there's some psychological trick to being in love or staying in love. There isn't. It's made up of all kinds of little things. Consideration for the other person. And appreciation of the other person. We're living in the day of instant foods. And a lot of people want this instant glow. I want you to notice the constancy in these two words in our text this morning, both of them. They looked unto the Lord, and as they looked, they became radiant. Maintain. This is in the Greek. Maintain the spiritual glow. This is constancy. Working at it. Not some modern super dynamic fuse, some automatic 20th century electronic radar range deal that suddenly gets you to a boiling point. You cannot live the Christian life wrongly and maintain the spiritual glow. It's impossible. You say, now, Brad, you're getting into the catch in the whole thing. I knew there was a catch. You had to work at it. You do. You have to work at love in marriage. It's just not automatic. And in this Christian life, it's not automatic. Here's why I don't have a brand new formula, but I've got the one that the Bible has used all the way through. It's like the glow of health in the body. It doesn't come from just a vitamin pill or out of the drugstore. It comes from healthy living, healthy eating, healthy exercise. You cannot maintain the glow of health without working at it. You can't maintain the spiritual glow either. Radiancy in sainthood by some revival substitute. Notice the context first on how to maintain the spiritual glow in Romans 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, everything on the altar. You can't have a spiritual glow and the Lord Jesus Christ shining out through your face and through your life by not giving your life to Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. See? Period. And second, a complete transformation of your minds by nonconformity to the world. Complete separation. And then you can prove or test out of your life, in your life, the complete will of God, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you have Romans 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2 in your life, you'll have the spiritual glow. When I give to God everything that I am, and the Holy Spirit comes in His divine fullness and brings the whole life of Christ into me, then it's no longer I that lives but Christ, and He'll glow out through me. You see? This glow is not yours. It's His. It's the treasure in this earthen vessel shining out through the chinks. Notice in our text, by an unflagging zeal in the Lord's service. You can't be a lazy saint in the Lord's service. Never flagging in your zeal. Don't get lazy in your zeal for the Lord. Now, I don't care how many spiritual experiences you have. If you're disobedient, then in your service for Him, you won't have any glow. No radiancy in your life. Look at a businessman, for instance. If he's really enamored with the one primary goal in life, and that is to make money in his business and to make his business a success, he's dull on everything else except his business. But you get him talking about his business, and he comes alive. His eyes shine, and his voice vibrates, and immediately he'll bend your ears sideways with all that he's done in business last week and the money he's made. He's got a radiancy about his business. You get really immersed in God's business, you maintain the spiritual glow too. Till it fills your heart out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Haven't you met Christians that you can't talk to very long before they start talking about the Lord? Fills their whole life. And just as soon as they do, you see the radiancy. You know why? They're in love with Jesus Christ. Shines out of everything they say. Shines out of their eyes, out of their faces, out of the very tone of their voice. You can't have this radiancy without this unflagging zeal. Look again in the context, in verse 12 of chapter 12 of Romans. Persevering prayer. And notice that word continuing. There's that maintaining. Continuing instant in prayer. It has the idea of giving yourself to prayer. Spending time in God's presence. That'll put the glow on you. Moses went on top of the mountain. Spent 40 days and 40 nights with God. Talking face to face with the Lord. And when he came down, people couldn't stand to look at him. His face shone so much. And put a veil on his face. I've met many radiant saints. I knew good and well that they'd spent time with God. We read in the early church they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why? In the very tone of their voice, the way they lived, their testimony, and the joy. Even when they whipped them, it says they went away rejoicing. Because they were counted worthy not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his name. That's radiancy. To come away from a whipping, rejoicing and shouting. Why? They'd been with Jesus. They looked unto him and were radiant. The glory of God rubbed off on the psalmist like it rubbed off on Moses. That brings up another point. Do you have to be conscious of this radiancy? No. It says that Moses wist not that his face did shine. And I've always said, as soon as you wist it, it stopped shining. You don't have to be conscious of it, but let me tell you something. Others will know it. Again, back to that same illustration. I've married many couples when I used to be pastor. And I was always conscious of this, and I remember when the night I married my wife, down in the First Baptist Church of Largo, Florida. And I found her in a little church that Dr. Watson started, and he married us, by the way. I don't hold it against him, but he did the trick, and he tied an excellent knot. But I remember standing in front of that little church and seeing Pauline come in that back door And wasn't just because love is blind. But she was radiant. A young lady in love is radiant. A young man in love is different. He's just foolish. Here's why they say he makes calf eyes at her. You ever look at a calf's eye? He's big-footed, tongue-tied, sheep-faced. And when he tries to act sophisticated, he strips over his own instep, bumps into the hall tree, slams the door on his finger, and doesn't feel a thing. He's in love. But a young lady in love is radiant. I never have married a couple that the young lady wasn't radiant. And he looked like he didn't know what all was going on. That's why he usually drops the ring and mixes up even the thing you're supposed to say, I do. Couldn't remember that even. As in love, it tinges the speech, influences the life, shines in the eyes, radiates in the face. So when you're in love with Jesus Christ, when he fills your life until it's no longer you that lives, but he lives in you, they will radiate out from your life this spiritual glow. Radiant saints. One more thought. The constant feeding on the Word of God is necessary to maintain the spiritual growth. This Word is living and energetic, and by studying it, it incorporates itself into your life and reproduces in you the life of Christ. You can't grow, Peter said, without it. Let me illustrate. The two on the road to Emmaus in the 24th chapter of Luke suddenly were joined by a stranger. And he asked them what they were talking about. And they said, are you a stranger in these parts? You don't know what happened. And then they began to tell him about this man called Jesus that they had hoped would be the Redeemer of Israel, but now it's all over and they've crucified him and things all over and past. Then the scripture says, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as soon as he left them, their testimony was, did not our hearts burn within us? As he talked with us, by the way. Maintaining the spiritual glow. Burning hearts. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to your loving heart out of this book, you'll have a burning heart. Amen. Sometimes in my study there at the house, I'll be just didactically studying, just coldly studying maybe a lesson, and all of a sudden the whole thing is transformed by the Holy Ghost into a warm personal application. This is the way you maintain the spiritual growth. Now, this text in closing, Philippians 2, 15 and 16. I want you to notice it carefully. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation among whom ye shine as luminaries, as stars, as the sun. It carries the idea of luminaries in the night sky. We are walking through a night period until the day dawn. The only light this world will see is in you.
Don't have that light obscured.
By the earthen vessel in which you have it. Among whom you shine as lights, as luminaries. They looked unto him and were radiant. Don't ever get lazy in your zeal, but maintain the spiritual glow. Lord bless you. Amen.